Let's pray. Jesus, open your word to us, open our hearts to you. Speak to us, touch us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. When I was a senior in high school, there was a guy down the hall with whom I sort of had a fun running feud. When I knew he was returning to our dorm, I would hide in his closet and jump out when he least expected it and immediately wrestle him to the ground, to the floor. Of course, he did the same thing to me. And after a while, this feud escalated. We not only wrestled in our dorm rooms, we wrestled in the dorm halls. Anytime we saw each other, hi, how you doing? And then we started wrestling. We wrestled outside in the snow, in the leaves, in the fall, on a hayride, and so on and so forth. Our dorm mates thought we were weird. Go figure. I don't know. Some people just don't like to wrestle, I guess. Where am I going with this? There are times when God wants to wrestle with you and me. There are times he insists upon it. In fact, there are times he springs out of our closet and wrestles us to the ground, whether we want to do so or not. And the latter is what happened to Jacob in our text. So if you would, please turn with me to Genesis 32, 24 through 30. If you remember, Jacob had lived in Haran for 20 years with Laban and his relatives, and then God called him to return to the promised land. Of course, Jacob was more than a little bit nervous about this because he had wronged his brother Esau, and he wasn't sure how Esau would receive him. But God told him to go, so he packed up his family, started returning to the promised land. He sent messengers ahead to Esau, and then they returned saying that Esau was approaching with 400 men. So in Genesis 32, 7 through 8, Jacob divided his family and his flocks into two groups, thinking that if Esau did attack him, maybe one of the groups would survive. And then he stayed alone in Genesis 32, 9 through 12 for the evening, basically to pray. I think this is the essence of what he was praying. Lord, you told me to return. Help. Watch over me. Help. Then he sent a large gift on ahead in hopes of placating Esau. And that brings us to our text. Genesis 32:24. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." Why did God take on human form and wrestle with Jacob? The text doesn't say. But it sure seems to illustrate how God's people sometimes wrestle with God. In prayer, emotionally, and so on. So consider, you are at a crossroad in your life. You seek direction from the Lord, and God doesn't answer right away. And so you wrestle emotionally and in prayer with God. Or you need sufficient strength for your trial. You know you cannot handle it on your own. You all but beg God to empower you, and nothing seems to happen. And so you wrestle with God. Or you have been attacked by Satan for several months. You feel pressed. Life is heavy for no reason that you can name. You pray for release. And no release comes. And so you wrestle with God. Or a loved one is sick and dying. You pray for healing. And no healing comes. And so you wrestle with God. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? There are definitely times we wrestle with God emotionally and or in prayer, just as Jacob did in our text. Now let me make several observations about the times when we wrestle with God. Observation number one, typically we wrestle with God when we stand at a crossroads during the big moments of our life. Not always, but very often that's when it happens. When we are at a crossroad during the big moments of our life. In our text, Jacob stood at one of those crossroads. He was returning home to the promised land as God had promised, or God had commanded him to do. Esau was coming with 400 men. He had a choice. He could continue on to the promised land and risk his safety, or he could flee. He was determined to continue on, but it was scary. It was scary. You and I often stand at a crossroad too when we are facing similar situations where God has called us to do this or that. We are committed to doing it, but it's scary. And when we think of the people we mentioned before, the person seeking direction, he stands at a crossroad. Should he go to the right? Should he go to the left? What does God want him to do? The person who is seeking strength sufficient for the trial stands at a crossroad. Can he stand fast? Or will he fall? The person seeking relief from oppression, he stands at a crossroad. Will God send him release, or will he succumb to the darkness and give in? And of course, the person who is seeking healing stands at a crossroad as well. Will his loved one live or die? Observation number two. It's almost God who initiates our wrestling matches with him, almost always. Such was the case for Jacob. Verse 24, Jacob was left alone, as we read, and a man, God, wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. It was the man, God, who initiated the wrestling match. Now, true, Jacob had gone to be alone, I think to pray, but our text says it was the man who wrestled Jacob, not the other way around. So how does God force you and I to wrestle with him? I think in two ways. Often he does this by simply not answering our prayer as soon as we pray it. And I'll get back to the second one in a minute. But often God initiates wrestling matches with us by just being silent. He jumps out of the closet in such moments and wrestles us to the floor and forces us to grapple with him. The person who is seeking direction for the big moment of his life and God doesn't answer, he's forced to grapple with God for that direction. The person seeking strength sufficient for his trial and God doesn't seem to give it is forced to grapple with God longer than maybe he intended. The person oppressed by Satan is forced to grapple with God for deliverance. And of course, the one who is praying for their loved one and God doesn't seem to answer, he is forced to grapple with God for mercy. So that's often the way that God forces us to wrestle with him. There's another way too. And sometimes he forces us to wrestle with him by just putting his hand heavy upon us. Let's face it, we all stray. We all go our own way. We all have our moments when we blow God off, when we don't care. And God puts his hand heavy upon us. And when he puts his hand heavy upon us, life doesn't work. You know how it goes. Everything goes wrong. Everything kind of blows up in our face. And what is God doing? He's trying to wrestle us into submission again. He's trying to force us to return to him. That's the second way God sometimes initiates those wrestling matches with him. Observation number three, when we as individuals, we as a family, we as a church, when we wrestle with God, we typically have to do it alone. Jacob, when he wrestled with God, verse 24, he was alone. Wrestling with God is an intensely personal affair. Others can pray for us or with us, and that helps. But the fact is, like Jacob, when we wrestle with God, we wrestle with him alone. So once again, my examples. You seek God's direction and he doesn't answer you. Others can pray with you and for you. It helps. But no one can answer the questions for you which weigh so heavily on your heart. What do you want me to do, God? And why are you not telling me? No one can answer those questions for you. You seek strength sufficient for your trial and God doesn't seem to empower you. Others can pray for you, with you. It helps. But you are still the one who feels exhausted. If you are the one who's oppressed by Satan, others can pray for you, with you. Again, it helps. But you are the only one that's still left wondering, how long, O Lord, how long? How long before you deliver me? If you are the one praying for a loved one, others can pray for you, with you. It helps. It helps. But only you and God know the deep pain you are going through. When we wrestle with God, we tend to wrestle alone. And if it's one of those cases where his hand's heavy upon us and he's trying to get us to return to him, no one else can help us. They can pray for us, with us, but we are the ones that have to turn around and go back home. No one else can do it for us. When we wrestle with God, we tend to wrestle alone. So with all that said, why does God sometimes force us to wrestle with him? Let me suggest a couple of reasons. One, God sometimes forces us to wrestle with him because it's good for our soul. After Jacob prevailed, in our text, God said to him, verse 28, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, that's who he was, but Israel, that's who he became. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. He went into the match, wrestling match, Jacob, and he came out as Israel. He was changed. He was changed. So to you and I, every time we wrestle with God, we're changed for the better, from a Jacob to an Israel. You simply cannot spend hours and hours and hours of time wrestling with God. You cannot spend hours and hours of time in prayer and not have a little bit of Jesus rub off on you. So every time you wrestle with God, he changes you for the better. Two, sometimes God forces us to wrestle with him to make us spend time with him. You'd think he wouldn't have to do that, but sometimes he does. After God blessed Jacob, Jacob understood that he had been in the presence of the Lord. And so he said, again, verse 30, I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. When God does not immediately answer our prayers as soon as we pray them, he forces us to come back to him. and pray again, and pray again, and pray again, until he does answer. And of course, he always does answer our prayers in his time. I believe, though, sometimes he doesn't answer them right away because he just wants us to be with him. And typically he does that when we've been so mule-headed that we don't spend the time with him that we ought. And he sees what is happening to our relationship with him. And so when we pray, he doesn't answer our prayer, so we have to go back to him. We seek answers, which we need, but he gives us a greater gift. Time with him. Time with him. And consider this, when I wrestled with that guy down the hall from me in the dorm, we did it because we like to wrestle, obviously. But you know as well as I do that for young men, wrestling, goofing off, roughhousing, that's the way we bond. Like hitting each other in the shoulder, it's a man thing. When God wrestles with us, I wonder, is he sometimes just plain bonding with us? That's a thought, isn't it? Finally, and this is the most important thing, sometimes God forces us to wrestle with him for reasons only he knows. Who are we to think we understand God and his ways? So often when he wrestles with us, there's no explanation. We don't know why he's doing it. He's just doing it. And let me tell you a story to illustrate what I mean. Over 100 years ago, this is according to Judy Anderson, whose husband was the West African Director of World Relief. Over 100 years ago, the missionaries who worked in Zaire, who started the work there, slowly lost child after child after child to a strange and painful death. Each one to the same thing. To make matters worse, they could never figure out why their children were constantly dying of this strange and painful death, whatever was causing it. They had been faithful, and yet God allowed their children one after the other, after the other, after the other to die. Don't you suppose they wrestled with God? Wrestle with God for why is this happening, and wrestle with God for spare our children, deliver them, heal them. And yet one after the other, they died. Judy related the story because when she was a little girl, she went on a day-long rally celebrating the 100th anniversary of that work in Zaire. And after a long day of speeches and music, an old man came forward in front of everyone and said that he needed to speak. He said if he did not share the information he had, which only he knew, would go to the grave with him. And so, of course, he was allowed to speak. Then he told those who were gathered there that when those Christian missionaries had begun their work in Zaire 100 years ago, his people thought they were strange and that their message was strange. And then the old man said, we decided to test the missionaries by slowly poisoning their children. And he said, it was as we watched how the missionaries handled the death of their children that we decided we wanted to live as Christians. That story had gone untold for 100 years, and the missionaries died, never knowing why. The point of the story, who are we to think we understand the ways of God? As often as not, when we wrestle with God, God never tells us why. He never told Jacob why. Our text says a man wrestled with him and never says why. And sometimes when we wrestle with God, it's not even about us. It's about other people who are watching us. Maybe sometimes it's even about the angels who watch us as well. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So who are we to think that we can understand? We Americans are not a very patient people, are we? You know, we want instant everything. We got our phones. I want to look up something, I just look it up. I remember the old days, you had to get the dictionary out, the encyclopedia out. Oh, what a bother. Now you just search it on Google. We want to talk to each other, we text each other, and for some of us, we expect instant responses. We're not very patient. Waiting is not our strong suit. I think this carries over even to our walk with the Lord. When we pray, what do we expect? We expect answers. If not today, if not right now, well, very soon down the road. And so when God doesn't answer right away, it bugs us. What's God doing when he doesn't answer right away? Calling us to wrestle with him. Perhaps he's building up our faith, making us an Israel instead of a Jacob. Perhaps he just wants to spend some time with us. Perhaps he's working out his good in our life and the lives of those we love and other people who watch us, and we don't know what he's doing, but he's doing good, and that's okay too. Working all things out for his glory. So when you find yourself wrestling with God, don't rush the process. When you don't understand what's going on, the hows, the whys, the wherefores, the what's, so on and so forth, that's okay. Trust God. He's good. It's like I always say, either God is good or he is not. Pretty simple. Either he is good or he is not. If he is, you can trust him. And then, of course, if his hand is heavy upon you, he's wrestling you, trying to wrestle you into submission because you have strayed, because you've blown him off, because you've ignored him. If his hand is heavy upon you and he's wrestling you into submission, then duh, submit. Pretty simple, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord, life would be a lot simpler if it were a lot simpler. But we live in complicated times. A lot going on. Thankfully, following you is simple. All we have to do is what we are told to do. And then we can leave all the other details to you. Lord, you know the things that weigh down our hearts, and some of those things are very heavy. Very heavy. We trust that you will hear our prayers and answer us. We trust you, Lord. You are good. Some of these things that weigh us down are so heavy that we will come back to you day after day after day with them. Thank you that day after day after day after day after day and then some, you are our sure foundation. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you. In your name, amen.